My wife and I have been sailors for coming up on now 5 years. I've always had the bug to sail myself after sailing with friends. Nothing seems to be so peaceful as sailing motorless, especially in the evening watching a beautiful sunset. It wasn't until Shirley and I had finished up our sailing class and had gotten back home when I came to realize how many terms and phrases are used in sailing that also have meaning in everyday life. Now, don't get me wrong, sailing has its very own lingo, too, like jib, shroud, stanchion, boomvang, clue, and foot. Don't call it a rope if you're on a sailboat with a salty sailor. It's a line, and those lines dedicated to specific sails are called sheets. One pulls the sheet in order to tighten or trim a sail. Then the sheet is secured to a winch. If it's not, one can lose the sheet to the wind, where it's bound to be blown into the water, where you have become dead in the water. Talk about having its own language. I recently read a product review for a new sailboat. The first line read, "Our test boat carried a standard aluminum 3-spreader John Mast rig with optional fiberglass furler boom. Forward, we flew the standard self-tacking 97% jib. We unrolled the blade jib and made speeds into the high sevens, close-hauled at a 35-degree apparent wind angle. On beam reach, we were breaking 9 knots before falling off the wind." I'm only now starting to understand some of that lingo. There are different types of sailing vessels, too, like cutter, ketch, sloop, yawl, catamaran, and schooner, and more. But there's a whole dictionary full of simple sailing-originated words that we, us landlubbers, use almost every day. In fact, we could use a number of them when we describe people we know. For example, I could say of Michael, he's of an even keel. I know what it takes to be a leader, and he's got it. He fits the bill. He's above board, especially when he's at the helm. He easily shows his true colors and flies them bravely when he gets underway with a project. He definitely knows the ropes around the worksite. With Richard, on the other hand, one needs to batten down the hatches, especially if you're in close quarters with him. And you definitely don't want to be dead in the water with him, for you'll be down in the doldrums before long. You have to give him a wide berth, for he'll leave you high and dry, or in deep water in a listless condition. He can be a loose cannon 1 minute and aloof the next. With Michael, I'd follow him to the bitter end. He's much more than a simple figurehead, and I'd stay with him through thick and thin. I'm on board with just about everything he wants to try. He's most always on the right tack. I was once in a room where I observed Richard with his irritated boss. He had his sails trimmed by his boss, who wanted Richard to better toe the line. That dressing down really took the wind out of his sails for a while. The boss later thought he must have scraped the bottom of the barrel when he had hired Richard. He just couldn't turn a blind eye anymore to Richard's antics. For Richard, it was a warning shot across the bow to shape up or ship out. Richard was taken aback, and he decided to put his life in ship-shape condition. Phew! That's just a few of the nautical-based examples, though there are a number more, like all hands on deck, at loggerheads, clean bill of health as compared to being under the weather, and finally, keeling over. There's also describing someone as being broad in the beam, while a broken item that's been haphazardly repaired is jury-rigged. There's also making waves and being over the barrel. And don't forget, pipe down, pooped, pressed into service, running a tight ship, and stem the tide. Getting back to Richard, though, he came into work one day last week, 3 sheets to the wind, forcing his boss to finally lower the boom on him. That was Richard's bitter end. And that's my take on it. For Paragon Communications, I'm Paul Joseph.